You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you from the remote batter's box with one of Broadway's resident funny girls. She's Break a Bat's first guest to have won an Olivier Award for her performance in Zorro on the West End. She also starred in Matilda the Musical on Broadway for nearly 3 years, and she is also the very first guest I've brought here that can probably call themselves Broadway's biggest fan of a certain team that just happens to be arch rivals with my New York Yankees. We will not hold that against her because we're really excited to talk to her tonight. So if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting, Leslie Margarita. Leslie, welcome to Batter's Box.
I'm so excited. I literally am so excited to be here. It's the batter's box.
The crowd would be going wild for you right now.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
We just got news today that we're going to have a baseball season. How stoked are you?
I know. So stoked. I mean, obviously, it's going to be very different, but huge, 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 huge news. Totally stoked. You know, I've obviously missed baseball, but kind of all sports seem to be making a small comeback. But yeah, it's really exciting.
I know, we'll have something different to watch on TV, you know, for it. I've maxed out everything on Netflix. I just bought a subscription to Disney Plus finally, because it was like, I'm not a fan.
You won't regret it.
It's good, huh?
You won't regret it. It's really good. Yeah. Yeah. There's even a sports section on Disney Plus that you can watch their sports movies.
I just kind of wanted to watch, like, you know, animated films in the Parent Trap.
No, you're fine. Disney Plus has it all. You're fine. Has it all.
Which part of California are you in right now?
Los Angeles. I am in LA.
You grew up in Northern California?
I grew up in Northern California. And then I went to UCLA and was kind of always a California girl until I moved to New York to do Matilda. I mean, I was in London for a couple of years, but then I moved to New York and thought it was just going to be a year. And it's now been almost seven. So I go back and forth. My husband lives in LA full time, and I just kind of go back and forth. So I'm back here for the foreseeable future. Because, you know, who knows? But it's nice to be home.
You're used to the nomad life, and I feel like there's a level of uncertainty that comes with that, right?
Yeah, I feel like most actors were prepared for this whole quarantine thing because I'm so used to not working for long periods of time. So not this long, but yeah, I think we're pretty great at figuring out stuff to do and have other projects and stuff that we can work on. So yeah, I'm used to the nomad life and I'm used to the downtime.
And you were smack in the middle of Emoji Land, right? You were getting close to the end of the run.
We were getting close to the end. Came. Yeah, we had actually just a week left. Officially, we had a week left. We were going to extend. But it went down like super fast. That afternoon, we heard like Moulin Rouge went down and then another show. And we were like, oh, it's happening. So all our stuff is still there. My stuff's in the dressing room. The sets are still up. The costumes are there. It's really weird. But who knows? I mean, you know, when I won't even say if, but when this all ends, we may be able to go back in because we're a small theater. And I feel like those might be the first ones to come back anyway. So we'll see. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Kind of like that controlled environment that we anticipate with this reopening. Yeah. I feel like a show like that is like, I hate to say it, to be the perfect show to guinea pig. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. And it's about a virus and then a reset. So, I mean, literally that final night we're singing virus and the audience is cracking up and we are too, because we're like, this is, it can't be any more perfect. A virus and a reset. So it's the perfect show to come back.
Yeah. Hopefully people aren't too sensitive. If anything, I think they'll just be grateful enough to be back at the theater that they'll just roll with the whole virus term, right?
They will. I mean, people were laughing so hard before. I think they will. I hope they will.
Now, let me ask you, Leslie, you grew up in California. How'd you become a Red Sox fan?
So my father grew up in Boston and he was a massive Red Sox fan. So when I was little, I had no choice. Although I loved the A's, the Oakland A's, he would take me to see the A's because obviously they played the Red Sox. So I loved the A's as a kid. But then as I got older and watched all the games with him, I just became a Red Sox fan because I have so many relatives in Boston and love the city. And I love that fandom. And growing up in that kind of fandom was awesome. I'm Italian. It was like, I loved it so much and have just always been a Red Sox fan. And so by proxy, I've never liked the Yankees. And so I end up in New York where I have a Red Sox credit card. Like it's, you know, it's the design is Red Sox. And so anytime I use it in New York, all I get is like, oh, ma'am, we don't take that card here. So sorry. You know, it's the crap that I get. Or my hat or whatever I'm wearing. And my Red Sox, I have so much stuff, but it's all like rhinestoned.
Some Broadway flair to the baseball gear.
It's totally blinged out. When I was a teenager, I think it was Alyssa Milano came out with like a female MLB line of clothes called Touch. And it was all blinged out. And of course, that's like me. So all of my Red Sox stuff is blinged out. So you see it coming from a mile away in New York.
You ever wear that to Yankee Stadium? How'd that go over?
Well, of course I do. And on the train too, like it's crazy. You see all the Yankee fans and I'm like, doo, 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 doo. Okay. It's such a great rivalry though. You know, like it's so there is deep respect there on from both sides. It's such a great rivalry. It's so fun.
Now let me ask you: were you in New York in 2004?
No, LA. But I was in New York doing a workshop for one of the games. I was in LA when it happened. But yeah.
So you were in New York for one of the games that the Yankees probably won, like the first two in New York, then game three was in Boston, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was amazing.
It's like, you know what? It's funny. Just, you know, the rivalry is amazing. I don't know if you've noticed this. I feel like the game has changed so much. And especially since Boston won, the players don't hate each other as much anymore. It's so different back then, right?
It really was. It, you know, that moment, I was really so happy that my father saw that. And like that moment was so huge for diehard Red Sox fans that once it was over, it was kind of in a weird way, disappointing. You were like, well, there's no curse. You know, like it was a weird thing. But it was so exciting and so fun. And, but yeah, it did definitely change. It did for sure.
Who are some of your guys? Are you like a Nomad girl? Are you a Pedro girl?
I love from them. I mean, I love that whole team. And I was a massive Johnny Damon girl. I was. And then he became a traitor.
And a friend of the show because
I know. You showed me that picture. And we still love Johnny Damon. But I was like, that was like in my heart. But I loved Nomad. Yeah. It was so great. But I did watch Yankees games when Johnny Damon went, just you know, because I had to. You gotta kind of support still. So
he's so damn cool. Did you see Fever Pitch by any chance?
Of course, yeah, of course.
There was a thing in the paper recently about how he's never been able to live down that like moment where I think he was in the on deck circle and they're like, Johnny Damon, you got the sweetest ass in the league. Like it's like part of his legacy now. That's
totally Jimmy Fallon. I mean, that's not a bad legacy.
I take it.
It's not a bad legacy.
You got the sweetest ass in podcasting. You got the sweetest ass in broad. Right.
I take it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's crazy though. It's like, you know, the Red Sox have won a whole bunch since he left amazingly. Yeah. Like he won one with the Yankees, but they've won three ever since. It's like now they've kind of got the upper hand on us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Not lately, but.
Well, I know. Well, it was crazy. They won that World Series 2018, and now it's like 2 years later, it's almost a completely different team out there. Cora's totally gone, obviously.
I know. Totally. It's a huge different team. I mean, it last season was just sad.
Yeah, a year after you win another championship.
I know. I was just sad. It was. Yeah, it was.
You know, it's
yeah.
the hangover effect.
It kind of is, I'm sure. Kind of is. And I'm kind of anxious to see how it all shakes down, no pun intended, this year. with all of that kind of stuff happening on the other side as well, on the business side of it. The Alex Cora stuff and, you know, other teams kind of getting involved. So not that I like that part of the game, but not that I like the dirty part of it, you know.
Yeah, it's a business. It's a business.
So yeah, I'm excited though.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Let me ask you, once you make it on Broadway, does it like, do you get the sense that it's a business? Like, you know, at first I'm sure it's, you know, just like, you're so thrilled to be there. You've worked so hard, but like then, you know, does that business aspect of it, you know, start to weigh on you a little bit and you realize that like, oh shit, like this is not all about me as an artist. There's producers, there's money, there's high stakes.
Oh yeah. It's Moneyball. It literally is. It is. It's just with Broadway celebs, you know, it's just, you know, hopefully, I mean, I still love what I do and realize that the business part of it is just part of it. But you really do realize how much your talent doesn't always come into play, that it is show business. And it's the same thing with sports. It's, you know, stacking your team and budgets and who's worth more. And it's crazy, how similar it is. But it is, you know, it is a business and that's the end all be all. And you just have to deal with it. Otherwise you have no choice but to deal with it. You can fight against it, but what are you going to do? You know, you just have to find the joy in the performance and let the other stuff just happen. Control the things you can control. That's about it. And I imagine players have to do the same thing.
Do you feel like you're at an advantage because you're really, really funny?
No.
Some people have to fake it. I'm curious about this.
No. You know what's weird though is because I'm like, woo, funny or whatever, people don't think that they think I have such a thick skin. So I'll always get things said to me, even business-wise, that they think won't offend me. And I'm like, just because I'm funny doesn't mean I don't have like
feelings.
Which is crazy. And it's always like the business side of producers or whatever saying stuff to me. I'm like, why would you tell me this? Why would you, you know? But no, I don't, it's not easier because it's not. Funny people are often the most sad.
You're not a clown. I didn't say you were a clown. Amy Poehler is funny. I don't think of Amy Poehler as a clown. I think of Carolina as a clown.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm not a clown. Although I'm sure I've been called that before.
You were like the ultimate creative to me. And you know, it's so funny. I mean, you and I were talking a little bit before the interview. I can relate to you in so many ways because, I mean, we were both Muppet kids growing up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, come on. That was the best. It's still, the Muppets taught me everything I know about being funny and everything I know about timing. The Muppets have the best timing of anyone I know. Any fur or person, anyone I know, like the best timing. And I know that as a kid growing up, that's where I learned any kind of comic timing was from the Muppets. It's my favorite. Miss Piggy is my favorite.
Frank Oz girl. All right.
Yeah, Frank. Yeah, totally. I mean, and obviously Yoda, I'm a massive Star Wars fan too. So yes, Frank Oz fan. Yeah.
It's like, it is the first introduction to comedy though. And I think it's just crazy because, you know, it was like in a time, you know, the original Muppet Show, it was like the spirit of anarchy.
Yeah.
Running rampant that they're not going to let you do that for family entertainment now.
No. And then, you know, I was talking to somebody when the Muppets were sold to Disney, I was really worried about that sense of like you said, like anarchy was going to be taken away. And they've actually done a pretty good job of, I mean, obviously it's gone through a regime change, but they're still funny. They're still irreverent. You know, it's like Looney Tunes I loved as a kid as well. And stuff that just kids don't get, but you watch it now and you're like, what? You know, it just goes, and the Muppets are always like that too. There's stuff that you play back now, even on Sesame Street. There's stuff that, I mean, this is embarrassing, but I still watch Sesame Street, but there's stuff that is absolutely made for adults that are watching it. It's hysterical. They're great.
You know, Sesame Street got me in trouble in fifth grade.
Why?
So they did this like student of the month award thing. And if you're student of the month, like for your class, they would like take like a week out of like the following month where like the student of the month for like each class, let's say they lined up like everyone in the fifth grade. And you would like get to alternate reading like the morning announcements. And I'm not saying like I was a class clown, but I was like a very creative kid.
Right.
So like, you know, you go into the principal's office, they, you know, I'm not going to use her name, but you know, the principal, you know, starts off the morning or whatever. And you know, then they hand the mic around and I'm the first person that they give the mic to do the morning announcements. And I come on. Hi-ho, this is Kermit the Frog from Sesame Street. News here from Guggenheim Elementary School, where there will be an assembly at 12 o'clock for all third graders. They take the microphone away from me. They revoke the award.
Why? Apparently,
at the playground, the kindergartners thought Kermit the Frog was on campus. Like, it led to all kinds of chaos. This did not fly.
That's such a good Kermit. I would have loved that. What? That's terrible.
Emotionally scarring. That was my academic achievement too. I was watching too much Jim Henson and not doing enough math homework.
But you have a really good Kermit, so you know.
Well, thank you. I'm just sad that Steve Whitmire doesn't get to do it anymore, which is terrible. Have you heard the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that says it all. It just doesn't. It's not Kermit.
It just doesn't. It's just not. It's not. It's just not. Yeah, the new stuff is hard to watch.
But it's interesting though, because like I wonder if you've ever felt the same way on Broadway. Like Frank Oz has said, like the issue with the Muppets is that the Disney Muppets is that they don't trust the people working beneath the Muppets sometimes. And you still have Dave Goles there who did Gonzo, and with Jim, you know, when Jim was still alive. You know, Steve had been there forever and they let him go. On Broadway, do you have a lot of say, like, you know, in developing your characters the way that, you know, your inspirations, the Muppets did?
It depends. I mean, I have based many a role on Miss Piggy.
Really?
100%, 100%. Many a role on Miss Piggy and her various personas. I mean, to an extent, you do get a say. You really do get more of a say if you're building a show from the ground up, ground up, like I did with Zorro. I started that when there was only like an act that was written and you follow it through for years until a show becomes a show. Then you can really put your stamp on it. But if you're coming to a role that, like Matilda, where a show's already been written or whatever, you get some freedom, but you still have the confines of what the creative team wants you to do. So I was very welcome to bring my Miss Piggy-isms to it. And then they would pick and choose which ones I could use and shape it within, you know, certain things. There was a hi-ya I got to keep. I think it's on the recording. I'm not sure, but there was a hi-ya that I kept. And and I remember the director was like, I'm not sure the hi-ya works. I'm like, listen, it's happening.
Do you remember the Muppet Show when she would karate chop Kermit with that? Mm-hmm. Like, you are fired, Piggy, you are fired. And she cried, like, hi, yeah. Like, it's brilliant comedy.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And I thought that was very much my character in Matilda as well. And so I was doing like a dance move and it was like, hi-ya! Mm-hmm, that was my homage to her in that show. You know what?
It's funny because, you know, you have a background in performing in the West End. And I will say there's a sophistication with the British sense of humor, but maybe because the Muppet Show was produced there that, I mean, obviously people loved what you did in Zorro. So, you know, overall, like, do you think that audiences, you know, did they take to you as well on the West End as they have on Broadway? Or, you know, do you see a difference, you know, when you're out there performing?
I mean, yeah, it's not that different. And the thing is, people think the Brits are so reserved, and they are, but those audiences were crazy. That show, you know, my character was more serious, like had this like dramatic death, but they went with everything that I did. And I do remember though, we did a tour before we did the West End, and the creative team came to me and they said, listen, we're not sure that the audience is going to get what you're doing. And it devastated me. They were like, maybe we have to, you know, not tone things down, but make it a little more Brit friendly. And I was like, je refuse. I refused. And I was devastated thinking that they weren't going to get it, but I trusted because the audiences on tour were getting it. And I was like, the West End, like the London audiences, I know are going to be just like everyone that we've been touring. And thankfully they totally got with it. You know, they just have it. It's a different way of performing. I think we're a little more free I think after they realized that my performance was working, they allowed some other freedoms of actors to try things. And the British audiences aren't that different. It's just, I think, a conceit that people think that they are, but they love theater. The Matilda team had seen me do Zorro, which is how they knew about me. So then when Matilda was happening on Broadway, that's how I got an audition. So I was like, okay, so I did something right over there. And now I get to do their show here. But yeah, it was a blast. And I was just over there before all of this happened. The world fell apart. Doing a Zorro concert. And the audiences, again, were like crazy and wild and like stomping their feet and everything. And I was really, made me want to go back and perform there again very soon, hopefully.
In the grand scheme of things, did you like the West End experience more than Broadway? Can you really compare them? It's tough, but I'm always curious
really,
about this.
I mean, you really can't. I mean, Broadway's Broadway. And so I had dreamed about that since I was little. And being on the West End was amazing, but I did that before I had a Broadway debut. So I still was like, oh, Broadway, Broadway. And I remember like my Broadway debut just bawling. And so that was more special to me. I think the West End was kind of like, I still can't believe I'm here. This is crazy. But the Broadway, I think they feel that way too. I think West End people always want to do Broadway because that's the, you know, that's kind of the end all be all. So they're both incredibly special, but my Broadway debut was very special. But I like both. I loved both. They're just different.
I've always found what you've been able to do on Broadway in really a short period of time pretty amazing. I mean, you're considered a queen in this industry. The nickname is apropos in many ways, and I think it's even more impressive and ballsy that you've bestowed it upon yourself. And the fact that it's stuck. awesome.
Well, and you know, that was totally an accident. My message, why I call myself queen, is not because I think I'm queen. It's because I tell people, rule your kingdom. Give yourself a title, because other people are going to try and give you a label and you may not like it. So call yourself queen, king, whatever. And then, because all you can do is rule yourself, your little kingdom, control what you can. And that's where that came from. And that's like all of my cabaret shows and messages to young people is all about that, is owning who you are. And so the queen thing, I've had that for my whole life. That was always like, I rule was my thing as a kid in the 80s, was like, I rule, Leslie rules. And so that's where the queen thing came from. And then it just kind of grew and it just stuck. But it comes from a place of empowerment. And it just stuck, which is great.
I think it's awesome.
But I hate when people are like, oh, so you think you're really, really great. I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with it.
It's motivation.
Motivational.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, it's so cool. You have so many different fandoms, Leslie, that I thought that you and I could play a little game tonight. Okay. You know, a little mid-interview game show.
Okay.
I can be like Guy Smiley here. Think of that, because you still watch that for me. So this segment is called Seventh Inning Stretch. And, you know, it's your chance to maybe become the queen of the baseball and Broadway community if you get enough trivia questions right about...
Terrible trivia. Okay.
Well, what about this? And what if I told you they're about baseball, Broadway, and possibly the Muppets? And, you know, you get enough of them right, you join the winner's circle, and you get a little prize.
Okay, I'll try. I really am horrible with trivia. I don't know.
Let's see how you do, Les. The Muppet Show featured a number of guest stars with ties to the Broadway world. Which of the following Tony Award winners hosted the Muppet Show? Is it A, James Earl Jones? B, Madeline Kahn, or C, Jackie Gleason?
This is really hard because both James Earl Jones and Madeline Kahn were on Sesame Street. I'm going to go with Madeline Kahn.
Ding, ding, ding. She's one for one. Much like a Johnny Damon, she leads off the game with a nice knock to right field. Leslie Margarita is on base.
Madeline Kahn, one of my idols. So good. Okay, good. Good.
Good call with the Sesame Street thing. I remember.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
With Grover. Yeah.
Grover. Mm-hmm. Singing.
All right. How about this one? A little baseball.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Before Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown in 2012, the last player to do so did so while playing for the Boston Red Sox in 1967 during part of his Hall of Fame career. Okay. Who was that player?
Oh, come on. You're not even going to give me a... hang on.
You're in the ballpark with the
Wait. Hang on. It's on the tip of my tongue. Say it again. It's the triple crown. Oh, Carl. That's why. Carl Yastrzemski.
Yeah, wow, you got it.
I went Kaminsky. Ding, ding, I was like, that's not it. It's ka. Yeah. I felt so much pressure. I was like blank. I was like, it's ka. Yes. Yeah.
That was awesome. All right. Here's the next one.
This is very, like, my heart is beating. Okay.
I mean, come on. This is the winner's circle here.
I mean, okay. I'm two for two.
Okay. Two for two. All right. How about this? You get this one right, you win the prize.
Okay. I don't know what the prize is, but all right. Okay.
I'm really curious if you'll accept it, but this question is, the Muppets have performed a number of Broadway show tunes over the years, particularly on The Muppet Show.
Yes.
Which of the following Broadway show tunes was not performed on The Muppet Show? Is it A, Razzle Dazzle from Chicago? B, Consider Yourself from Oliver? C, Summer Nights from Greece? Or D, The Lonely Goat Herd from The Sound of Music?
I want to say Summer Nights. Oh, well, God, I don't think any of them. I don't remember any of them.
I'm going to give you a few clues on some guest stars here.
Okay.
I mean, Julie Andrews hosted.
Right, okay.
Joel Grey hosted.
Yeah, I'm... No, no, I feel like so. Okay, wait, what was the other one? Lonely Goat Herd?
Razzle Dazzle, Consider Yourself.
I don't know about Razzle Dazzle.
You have to, hey, listen, you have four options. One of them was not performed in the Muppet Show.
All right, I'm going to go with...
Oh, God.
I'm going with Consider Yourself.
The answer is Summer Nights. Consider Yourself was performed to Milton Berle and Charlie McCarthy.
I was right. My first instinct. Why didn't I trust my gut?
That's all right. It's all right. Listen, you're 2 for 3. I'm going to give you one last question. I think okay. You're going to get it because I know you're an 80s kid.
Okay.
Who was the Hall of Fame Boston Red Sox third baseman that had an obsession with chicken and beer that ended up winning a World Series for the 1996 Yankees?
Chicken and beer?
Hall of Famer, mustache, batting titles. Played third base.
Hang on. Fuck. Oh, man. I can't. I don't know. I give up.
The answer is Wade Boggs.
Come on!
you remember him, right?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. See? Told you I'm terrible at trivia. Terrible.
All right. I've got the last one for you, and I think you're going to get it. From the Broadway front, okay?
Okay. I'll try that one. Okay.
Which esteemed Muppet performer directed the Little Shop of Horrors movie?
Frank Oz.
Ding, ding, ding. She takes it home and joins the winner's circle. Leslie, congratulations. I'm very proud of you. Frank Oz. You started off hot, you know. You had trouble with the pitching change there, and You are going to win this official trophy. It's a Break a Bat long sleeve T-shirt. It's the Chapman on Broadway brand, so it's not a Yankee brand. It's
I like that though. I love that.
I'm happy to welcome.
I'm actually very excited about that. Very excited about that.
Well, I'm going to brave the elements and go to the post office later this week and send it out to you.
Don't on my account. I mean, don't get sick, you know.
Oh, my goodness. That looks good. You think you're going to come back to New York soon? Or like, what's the plan here? Stay out in LA for a little while?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of always going to come out here for the summer because the summer, there's not, you know, much happening. I have a couple things that I was shooting as well that got cut short that I have to finish shooting out there. So maybe like August, I think, is maybe when stuff will start going back and shooting. Theater-wise, I don't know. Couldn't tell you when that'll all come back. But I think for the summer, I'll be here in LA at least.
You know, as I said before, you know, you've made such a big impact on Broadway. Is there like a dream role that you really want to do, either that has been created and would be revived or like something that you could originate?
I mean, there's a couple. I used to say Evita all the time. I would love to do like a revival of Guys and Dolls. I would love to do Adelaide in that. There's a bunch. I mean, I would love to do Spamalot if that was ever revived. But hopefully there's some new stuff that maybe I'll get to originate something super cool. You know, I've gotten to do some awesome workshops of things that hopefully will come to fruition, but we'll see. I mean, and number one, I would really love for Zorro to happen in the States because it just hasn't. So, and there's some talk about it until all of this happened, but you know, we'll see. Yeah.
You'd be the first one they have to call. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be great.
When they do open back up, do you think that this January thing's realistic? And if so, do you think it's going to be all the shows, a few shows? Like, what do you expect?
You know, I honestly have no idea. You know, I think film and TV is so much easier to control because of shooting environments. And theater, they're talking about, you know, distancing the audience, but then what about us? You've got actors spitting in each other's faces and, so, you know, crew members. And so I think it's going to be difficult. I think, I would love January to be that. I think we won't come back until there's a vaccine, honestly. And hopefully that'll be at the end of the year. I really don't know. It's scary. It's scary and sad. I do think smaller shows, smaller theaters will probably open first, like off-Broadway stuff. But again, that's just guesswork. Yeah, I have no idea how they come back with that without a vaccine. It's insane. It like happened so fast. I remember talking to my husband. I was in New York. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. It's fine. And then like a week later, it was like,
yeah,
it was crazy, crazy. But yeah, I 2021, I'm hoping. 2020 is a wash.
I saw this meme the other day about like if 2020 was a car, it's just this like car that's been taped together and like all this broken glass. It's like when's the other shoe going to drop? Like every week, and it's just something new. And
I'm really interested in what's going to happen with sports. I mean, already, you know, some of the teams are like NHL and stuff are practicing with, you know, 6 or 8 man squads, and some of them have already tested positive. It's nuts. Like the NBA, did you see they're going to wear those rings that takes your temperature and like it's crazy stuff happening. But I'm interested to see how that all works out for sports. But I'm glad they're going to try.
NBA is going to be a funny one because they're encouraging players to like not lick their fingers and lick the ball. It's like, when are they encouraging them to do this?
Too. I was like, I've never seen someone be like, never. Yeah. I mean, baseball, I've seen it.
But basketball. Yeah, to grip the ball. That's right. Ball, to pitch it. Right. Now, I do want to get a couple more stories out of you, Leslie. So I feel like this is a good time to bring about this last segment that we call Fastball Derby. You know, I'll ask you a question and you say the first thing that comes to mind. How does that sound?
That's good. Okay.
Got it. Favorite New York City meal?
Like a restaurant or a pasta? I mean, it's pasta, but it doesn't like a certain restaurant?
What type of pasta? Penne alla vodka, bolognese? I mean, there's no rules in this game.
Oh God. Well, then I'm going to go with penne vodka for sure. Yeah. Like a good one. Yeah.
You and I are both Italian, so we could spot a good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Most embarrassing onstage moment.
How much time you got? Most embarrassing in London, I get killed laying dead center stage, and there's a giant rat that ran across the stage and across my body, and I woke up screaming from the dead. And then had to die again.
I wish someone was illegally filming that.
Me too. Awesome. I have asked around. Nobody was. I'm like, of all the bootlegs you people have, nobody asked that. That was a good one. And anytime I fall on stage is always embarrassing. But my thing is I will then laugh. Once I go on stage laughing, I can't stop. So if I fall or crack at something that I do, then I'm gone the rest of the song because I'm laughing so hard at myself. But it's always a bit embarrassing. I've fallen when there's been no one else on stage. In Tap Shoes. Dames at Sea, actually. I was in Tap Shoes and I just went by myself on stage. Times.
You're making me crack up. All-time favorite night at the stadium.
Ooh. Fenway. I was at Fenway with my dad. It was the first time I had ever gone to Fenway. And just walking into that stadium is just... From the minute you get it into the stadium, you just go, oh my God, I'm here. And so that was my favorite night. First time I was at Fenway.
Your Desert Island song.
Ooh. Want to be starting something, Michael Jackson? Mm-hmm.
Favorite Muppet song?
Rainbow Connection.
Classic.
So many, though, but yeah, that's a favorite.
Favorite late night snack? Two show day, you get home, it's after midnight. What's Leslie grabbing before she hits the couch?
Oh, well, it takes some prep, but Kraft mac and cheese with the squeezy cheese, like the pre-made.
You're Italian, Leslie. What do you do? Kraft mac and cheese, that powder?
It's the best. It's the best. Otherwise, my snack is usually wine.
That's a good one. So, yeah. Can't top that. Proudest moment of your career?
I think my Broadway debut. I think it was the first preview of Matilda. And that was like my actual debut. I think that was, yeah, that one.
And lastly, what's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
There's so much. I think just not to give up, just not giving up, I think was the best piece of advice. That and not everybody's going to like you. Who cares? They don't have to. I think that was really good advice, especially in this business, which is subjective and unlike sports, you know. I mean, everyone's going to have an opinion and not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay. They don't have to. That was really good advice. Yeah. I should follow that one more.
Who told you that?
My dad. My dad did. Yeah. Long time ago. I feel like when I was a teenager. I remember I think I got a bad review or something when I was a teenager and I got really upset and he was like, not everyone's going to like you. Don't matter. Yeah.
This was awesome, Leslie. I can't thank you enough for joining us in the batter's
box. Oh my God.
Tonight.
I love it. I love it. Could talk about Broadway and baseball for forever and the Muppets.
You going to come back and visit us when we're in studio?
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, for sure. We can talk about the season.
Yeah, that would be actually awesome.
It's super fun. Ooh, we should watch a Red Sox Yankees game.
Very down for that.
Yeah.
We can make that happen. Hopefully we'll be allowed to have more than 15 people in like a bar area. We'll make a big outing out of it.
Yeah. I'll just scream at you in a microphone.
Are you going to wear your rhinestones though? Cause that's my only condition.
I will. I absolutely can. I mean, it's like a rhinestone bee hat. There's a rhinestone shirt. It's the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, Leslie. We cannot thank you enough again, Leslie, for joining us in the Batter's Box tonight. This is Al Malafronte signing off for the Broadway Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time. See you next time.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.